Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, and your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning. We are going to dedicate our show to the extraordinary life of Nelson Mandela here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. On Thursday, South Africa lost its champion of freedom. The world has lost its shining example of forgiveness and reconciliation. We are not required to wait for the history books to judge Nelson Mandela. His very presence symbolized courageousness, a clarity of purpose in the face of insurmountable odds, because what we've seen in South Africa is and was hard. And there was a struggle for freedom that was exemplified in Nelson Mandela. And let's be clear. Apartheid was a brutal, sadistic system that used various methods of oppression that in many instances, and I am a fan of Roman history, and so I know the kinds of brutality that the Romans inflicted on their enemies. And so the apartheid regime was an interesting kind of system that, again, used the kinds of oppression that in many instances, you know, how the folks survived, that we had our issues here in America. And what is fascinating to me, what is interesting, the torture, the brutality. It's amazing how our folks in the United States during the Civil Rights Movement, how they survived that very daunting experience, how South Africa and all over Africa, to be honest, how our people in the African diaspora survived is absolutely amazing. And we're talking about a system, a sick system, twisted of subjugation, polarization, you know, pitting groups against each other, obviously. It was amazing. But I want you to know that there is context to why Nelson Mandela represented what reconciliation actually means. There's context to why reconciliation and forgiveness was a cornerstone of his character. Resistance movements all over Africa marked an unchangeable direction for the march toward freedom. You think about the Mau Mau movement in Kenya, which was a bloody campaign of resistance that led to wholesale massacres of thousands of Kenyans who only sought to throw off the shackles of colonialism. And they responded in such a way that inspired so many movements all across the African continent. Voices like Jomo Kenyatta, who at one point was, you know, that government was making all attempts to tie Jomo Kenyatta to the Mau Mau movement. But his voice helped to shape a template of resistance. So that the struggle in Africa, various places, in many instances was not successful because the transition from colonial rule to self-governance was a difficult one. But he provided, Jomo Kenyatta, as well as Nelson Mandela, provided the template that we needed to ensure that the cry for freedom is something that every African actually sought. When you think about the Angolan rebellion, which sparked a rallying cry of nationalism all across the Portugal-controlled Angola in 1961, the Angolan independence movement forced colonial powers all over Africa to reassess their interests on the continent. You got to remember, there were violent struggles all across the African continent. Nelson Mandela happened to be one of those leaders who initially wanted to do this thing nonviolently. But there had to be a reassessment in how we approach this thing. Think about it. When you look at British East Africa, when you look at French Africa, Belgian Africa, Portuguese Africa, and Germany, Italy, and Spain, all of these folks vying for control of the natural resources and the lands of the entire continent, there's no doubt that death, inhumane treatment, brutality, the pillaging of an entire continent, there is no doubt that there had to be a method of oppression to literally steal the land and to use those methods as standard fare to control the population. It's against that backdrop that Nelson Mandela, the African National Congress, what they call the ANC, and voices like Stephen Biko, it's no wonder that they rose to prominence. Kenya saw bloodshed, Angola saw bloodshed, South Africa saw bloodshed, and even in America, where the civil rights movement was really steaming ahead, there was bloodshed. And the folks who wanted to maintain and hold on to control and power, they resisted the move of freedom. And I want you to be clear about something, because as folks will around the world remember Nelson Mandela, and rightfully so, I want you to remember, Nelson Mandela initially sought peaceful means to end segregation, to end racism, to end the apartheid regime. It was only after the white South Africans ratcheted up a brutal campaign to stamp out the movement toward freedom. Because if you remember, history is our guide here. And again, as we remember Nelson Mandela, as we watch the ceremonies and as we do the reflection, let us remember how we got to that point of him being hauled off to Robben Island and ultimately spending 27 years in jail. We're talking about the apartheid regime, the government, the system, torturing people, using jumper cables to shock people that resisted that system, kidnapping folks and beating folks and suffocating individuals who all they wanted was freedom, using these ancient techniques of tongue pullers to literally pull the tongues out of people's mouths. Why? Because they wanted freedom. Hanging people upside down and beating the bottoms of their feet, beating them in their backs. We're talking about sheer brutality, folks. So as we remember Nelson Mandela, let us remember the context by which reconciliation and forgiveness emerged. Because when you talk about after his release, they still had problems in the diamond mines. They were being forced to work, forced to labor at the butt of a gun. I mean, South Africa was still struggling even after Nelson Mandela was released from prison, subjecting women to all various forms of rape and humiliation, working in the homes of whites, being degraded, humiliated. That's what South Africans experienced. That's what Africans in Angola, in Kenya, and various other parts of the African continent experienced. Sheer brutality. In America, the same thing. That's the context by which we need to look at Nelson Mandela's life, his life behind bars on Robben Island, and his ultimate release. Take a listen to some audio that I pulled from Nelson Mandela in the early days.
There are many people who feel that the reaction of the government to our stay at home, ordering a general mobilization, arming the white community, arresting 10,000 of Africans, the show of force throughout the country, notwithstanding our clear declaration that this campaign is being run on peaceful and non-violent lines, close the chapter as far as our methods of political struggle are concerned. There are many people who feel that it is useless and futile for us to continue talking peace and nonviolence against a government whose reply is only savage attacks on an unarmed and defenseless people. And I think the time has come for us to consider, in the light of our experiences in this stay at home, whether the methods which we have applied so far are adequate.
So that is the backdrop. The question of whether or not changing methods and how to obtain freedom from a peaceful movement to a movement that would incorporate all kinds of activities, ultimately leading to his being arrested and jailed on Robben Island off of Cape Town in South Africa. He was, of course, a member of the African National Congress, the ANC, and he started the military wing of that organization after the South African government waged a bloody campaign to stop the freedom movement. And of course, as many of you know, he was released from Robben Island in 1990. You know, it's especially gratifying to see, because I remember when he was released, I was home in Asbury Park, New Jersey, and it was all over the news and folks were celebrating, as was I, because in those early days, I became intimately involved in what they call the movement in New York and participating in various marches and demonstrations during those early days, learning and studying African history. So I became involved in that kind of activity. And so I remember in 1993 when Nelson Mandela received the Nobel Peace Prize, and he was, because it was gratifying to me, he was standing along with F.W. de Klerk. And for me, it symbolized to all of those white South Africans of the time, particularly those who were still resisting the movement of freedom, resisting the changes and the transitions that was taking place. It symbolized for me and so many others that indeed the Africans who share the same hue as I is equal to individuals who happen to have white skin. That was particularly gratifying, that this most noble prize that is sought after by many people in the world for their work as human beings, sought after, that Nelson Mandela, who was oppressed and jailed for 27 years, can receive a prize that symbolized hope and freedom. It's gratifying to me. And I want you folks to be clear about something. Mandela was jailed for all of those years. There was moments in that particular time in his life that he was offered to walk out of prison only if he were to denounce the movement that he was leading, only if he were to rail against the movement, the very movement toward freedom, of freedom, for freedom. If he were to denounce that, man, we will let you go. But he stood firm in his belief that Africans, black Africans, were equal and have a right to freedom. That's what he represented. And so when we look at the context to his 27 years in jail, let us remember that there is context. He would not denounce the movement that he participated in. And that speaks to his character and his integrity. They wanted him to rail against that movement. So, 1990, it was a glorious thing to see. It's a glorious day for those of us who embraced divestment movements all across the country. There was a sense at that time that the tide was indeed changing. It was a glorious day. I remember that. Now, don't get me wrong. Nelson Mandela still had to grapple with and contend with racism and bigotry even after his release. Oppression was still part of the daily life in South Africa, even after his release in 1990. And I keep telling folks, if you want to know what was going on in South Africa, if you want to have a reflection, look at it. Even after he was released, look at it even 10, 15 years ago when, you know, folks in the diamond, in those mines were being oppressed. It was absolutely stunning to me. White supremacy movements and police brutality threatened to tear the political and social progress that was being made even after his release. Yes, folks, there were folks inside and outside the government in South Africa that sought to return things to the way they were, even after his release. There were campaigns of violence really sweeping across the South African nation because whites wanted to have and maintain control. They did not want that transition to occur. And it was quite fascinating. Take a listen to another piece of audio that we're providing here.
I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against black domination. I have cherished the idea of a democratic and free society in which all persons will live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an idea for which I hope to live for and to see realized. But my Lord, if it needs be, it is an idea for which I am prepared to die.
Yes, indeed. He was prepared to die for his people, for an idea, for freedom. That's what he represented. And what an extraordinary man. It is particularly fascinating as we watch the reflections and the dedications and the ceremonies that will follow in the days and weeks to come. It is going to be fascinating to watch those who resisted Nelson Mandela's movement, those in our own country who resisted the divestment movement that started sweeping across even America. It is also particularly interesting how when we look at folks who we consider enemies, how they gravitated toward the ideas that was reflected in the heart of Nelson Mandela. It is sad, but we celebrate a great life. And I am particularly proud that I have gotten to read some of his work, read some of the things that he has said, some of the speeches, and just read about his life and embrace his ideas and really embrace the kind of integrity that he has. Reconciliation and forgiveness is very hard. For a man to come out and not be as bitter as he was probably justified at being, that speaks to the kind of spirit and character the man had. What an extraordinary life. What an extraordinary man. A revolutionary whose capacity to forgive had a much more profound impact on the world than any musket, any shotgun, a tank, drone, or even nuclear weapon. South Africa, a nation transformed by the spirit of forgiveness, cooperation, and reconciliation. Nelson Mandela, folks, had an absolute right to be angry and bitter at his jailers. He had a right to be angry at the white folks that were oppressing his people. He had a right to be angry at Europe and Britain. He had a right to castigate the very systems that was oppressing his people. He had a right to exact revenge on an oppressive, a brutal, racist society that deemed him a terrorist. Can you imagine someone coming and taking over your own land, your own home, your own place of residence, and then labeling you a terrorist because you are fighting for your own freedom? Could you imagine that? He and his comrades had a right to pursue armed resistance. He had a right to inflict the same slaughter on the whites of South Africa as he and his people experienced for generations. When South Africans who share the same hue, the same color as me, were beaten, tortured, maimed, poisoned, shot down like dogs, and killed, there was a justified rage that toppled that racist apartheid system. A rage that railed against a system of oppression that many people around the world saw but turned a blind eye. Don't think that Ronald Reagan was some stalwart champion of freedom in South Africa. We had to force the issue in this country. That's why divestment movements all across this country and even around the world occur. Our government didn't embrace freedom for South Africans. They turned a blind eye. We had to force the issue here. So they conquered that regime, not with guns, not with killing, but with the sheer persistence of dedication, the sheer will of persistence. Now, although many nations of the African continent will never boast of transformation, of peaceful transformation from colonial rule to self-governance, the yearning for freedom in South Africa spurred a great movement that swept across many lands and great bodies of water. Many of us have often wondered what Dr. Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and so many others who died and were killed and assassinated in this country, what would they have been like had they lived? Now, I suspect that both Martin and Malcolm would have continued to challenge the very systems that bolsters inequality and discrimination today. There is a persisting poverty that plagues many quarters of our society, and Dr. King and Malcolm X would be speaking to those issues had they lived. They would have dealt with those issues in a strong and firm way. And I believe that had Martin and Malcolm lived to see beyond the years of revolution, they would have possessed the same dignity and quiet integrity that Nelson Mandela exuded until his last moments of life. I listened to the speech, some statements by President Barack Obama, and they were indeed moving. Take a listen to this.
At his trial in 1964, Nelson Mandela closed his statement from the dock saying, "I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against black domination. I have cherished the ideal of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an ideal which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die." And Nelson Mandela lived for that ideal, and he made it real. He achieved more than could be expected of any man. And today he's gone home. And we've lost one of the most influential, courageous, and profoundly good human beings that any of us will share time with on this earth. He no longer belongs to us. He belongs to the ages. Through his fierce dignity and unbending will to sacrifice his own freedom for the freedom of others, Madiba transformed South Africa and moved all of us. His journey from a prisoner to a president embodied the promise that human beings and countries can change for the better. His commitment to transfer power and reconcile with those who jailed him set an example that all humanity should aspire to, whether in the lives of nations or our own personal lives. And the fact that he did it all with grace and good humor and an ability to acknowledge his own imperfections only makes the man that much more remarkable. As he once said, "I'm not a saint unless you think of a saint as a sinner who keeps on trying."
Indeed, as President Obama intimated, Nelson Mandela now belongs to the ages. He no longer belongs to us. He does in our heart and in our mind and, of course, in our history book. But now he belongs to the ages. And Mr. Mandela's legacy is now firmly affixed to history. His towering presence in the pantheon of greats is well earned. And he's left us with a template of forgiveness and reconciliation that all of humanity should embrace. And so I bid farewell to a great man indeed. Rest in paradise, Mr. Nelson Mandela. Amanda. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I want to thank all of you for listening this week. In the days and weeks ahead, the nation and, of course, the world will celebrate the extraordinary life of Nelson Mandela. I would strongly urge you to look at his life in the full context of the struggle for freedom on the entire continent of Africa, in America, and, of course, around the world. Nelson Mandela championed the cause of civil rights, human rights, and for every human being to enjoy life, liberty, and, of course, freedom. But most importantly, folks, he was and is a shining example of forgiveness and reconciliation. A great man has left this world, but his legacy and towering presence on the world stage will certainly live on. Rest in peace, Nelson Mandela. God bless. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-run.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. Also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronholland.blogspot.com. This show will also be available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.